Gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this radio broadcast. And we do ask your indulgence as we have a bit of a different broadcasting scenario today. Things are changing rapidly in the world of talk radio, especially the alternate talk radio. So again, we do ask your indulgence as we set up for this broadcast. Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel, meaning man ruling as or with El, God. These people today are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Today is the 30th of April, year 2017. We've entitled today's program, Meet Dr. Gifford, and subtitled Vaccines. Of course, we're going to be talking about a whole lot more than just that, but we try to keep the titles very, very short. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Now, again, like I said, things are a little bit different today. We found out that TalkShoe has joined the ranks of many other web hosting facilities, institutions, etc., and they are going to start implementing the Jewish policy. And for folks that don't know that, that's who initiated these so-called doctrines or protocols whereby broadcasters and servers and radio stations, etc., have a new standard. Now, of course, they use innocuous terms such as hate speech or racial incitement to violence, etc. But the truth of the matter is it's censorship for truth tellers, whether we're talking about the 9/11 truthers, the birthers, or those who are exposing the Talmudists. Some people call them Jews or Zionists or communists. They go by many different titles, Khazars, etc. But they, as Christ said, are the bane of all that is right in this world. Why is that? Well, go read your Bibles, read your history books, and you'll find out why. Let me go to my board here. Okay, the doctor has not called in yet. Not sure why that is, but he hasn't. So let me get some more information here. Again, we do have a lot of new guests today. We want to welcome them to the program. Again, our format is slightly different today than usual because we're trying to do double broadcasting and double recordings because of the censorship that's starting to happen. The official start date is tomorrow, May 1st, and isn't it interesting that the censors who are shutting down truther sites and putting up roadblocks, excuse me, picked May 1st to start their activities. May Day, of course, May 1st, May Day, is a big event, big date in the world of communists. And for those of us who have been beating the bushes for decades now, trying to warn Americans, along with a lot of veterans, by the way, that the communists didn't go away with the falling of the Berlin Wall. As some people said, the Berlin Wall came down because there was no need for it anymore because the communists had already infiltrated the Western countries. Most assuredly, white European and America have been infiltrated by the same Zionist communists that butchered and murdered over 100 million white Christian men, women, and children in Russia and the Ukraine. So it has already begun as they are interfering with many of the websites, but tomorrow it will start in earnest. And so those folks who find some of the programs archived here, if you like them, you better download them today while it's still available, because tomorrow there is no guarantee. Fortunately, most of the broadcasters have already backed up much of their material, and they keep it archived in numerous places. Knowing how our enemy works, as Father told us, be as wise as the serpent. Now, the serpent is nakash in the Hebrew, and it's a vile, contemptible, deceiving enchanter in shoe leather. In other words, it had nothing to do with a reptile on the ground. It had everything to do with a reptile in your heart, talking about a deceiving race of people that walk on two legs. That's who we were warned about in the Garden of Eden, and it's been going on ever since. Genesis 3:15 makes that very, very clear. And again, I'm not sure why my Dr. Gifford has not yet called in. We're already 7 minutes into the hour. If you could bear with me just a minute, folks, let me send him a quick text and see if there's something wrong. So please bear with me. In fact, let me play a little music here for you while we're waiting. Let me pick something out here. By law, I'll be right back. Lord can become the ghost of every crofter's home. By law, their little cots can be dark dens of dirt and misery. Can law be law when based on wrong? Can law be law when for the strong? Can law be law when landlords stand, representing mankind on the land? By law, by law, by law, by law, by law, the tax upon their toil is squandered on an alien soil. By law, their daughters, sons, and wives are doomed to slavish drudgery lives. All food-producing glens are changed from farms to cattle pens. This is your law, whereby a few are shielded in the deeds they do. By law, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back, and again, I'm not sure what happened to our good doctor. Dr. Gifford is supposed to be our guest today to to talk about some pretty earth-shattering material he's put together. He's part of a worldwide effort to expose the vaccines and the poisons that are in it and what it's doing to our people. And on a good note, they have also developed some procedures that will aid in the discovery, let's say, and propensity of folks to come down with diseases like cancer. Again, I'm not sure exactly what's going on because we do have a time zone problem, but I made sure very clearly that we're on Eastern time here, not Central time. So again, I'm not sure what happened. This was being planned for quite some time, but it's part of talk radio. I mean, things happen. Maybe a car broke down, a family emergency, who knows? So we have to be able to extemporaneously carry on, so to speak. So again, until he does call in, we'll just sort of do an open mic here. The call-in number is on the computer screen if anybody wishes to call in and join with information. Like I said, we are on the precipice of a lot of things happening right now, folks. Some of my astrological folks have told me that Mercury is in retrograde, which seems to cause people to act nuttier than usual. Certainly, as you look around on Earth today, people certainly seem to be nuttier even than usual. The worst of the Mercury retrograde is supposed to hit around the 5th of May. Interestingly enough, the New World Order has a lot of stuff planned between now and the 5th of May. That is also very close to the end of this satanic two-week period that we're in the middle of. High holy days for the Satanists. And, of course, May 1st tomorrow is a holy day for the communists who happen to be Luciferian as well. So we are in the thick of things, are we not? So it's not too hard to understand why they want to shut down all the sources of truth that are out there. This is a challenge to Yahweh's people now. We have to put our brains and our efforts together and be wiser than the serpent, but remain innocent as doves, remain true to our Father and true to what we have been taught to be, which is Radamanthine individuals, strictly and uncompromisingly just. It is our jobs to be just in everything that we do, regardless of the enemy and what they do and who they are, regardless of any of the other issues that they try to divide us with. Our job is to be just in all things, to be just, to seek justice. You want to know why a lot of problems that we have today? You take a look at America, corrupt, so corrupt, we're like a banana republic at this time. It's because we have lost sight. We've lost the vision. The book of Proverbs talk about that. Two different times we're told that our people suffer from a lack of knowledge or truth. But there's also a verse in there, very interestingly, that says we suffer from a lack of vision. We have lost the vision of what it means to be white. We've lost the vision as to what it means to be children of the Most High Yahweh. We've allowed the materialistic Satanists amongst us to convince us to be like them instead of remaining true to our first love, which is our Father Yahweh. Shame on us for that. Just a second. I think we have the good doctor.
Hello, can I help you?
All right. Dr. Gifford, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on.
Ah.
Are you ready?
Yeah, yep, we're ready here at this end, so you're a first-time guest. I would like if you would take just a few minutes to introduce yourself to the audience and let them know, you know, a little bit about yourself before we get into the meat of the matter.
Hello, I am Arden Gifford, M.D., and I'm an associated member of Healing Our Wellness, which is a method of approach of learning more about ourselves and our environment, And we have a website, which is called www.recoverytelehealth.com. And what I'm going to do this morning is talk about genomics and vaccines and how they relate. And I've sent around a couple of listings about the general focus of these contexts. And I am certainly going to be referring to that. But in general, we're just going to start with some talking points for the purpose of identifying the context around which this has occurred as a long-term function of some of the circumstances. My background is addiction psychiatry, and we have a global program of video teleconferencing where we do direct video teleconferencing at virtual office and attempt to intervene and begin work on issues that are related to mental, medical, and surgical, financial, and drug-related issues. Much of what I'm going to talk about today is a review of the information that I've gained over the years and largely begun back in the early years of my development and in training in psychoanalysis. My mother was a psychoanalyst, and we trained in a laboratory, and a great deal of child development was learned from the beginning. And in addition, through family members who were involved in some of the processes that we're talking about, I attended a conference at La Jolla and Scripps Clinic led by Eric Tobin. It's called Genomics, and it was done recently. And there are several great breakthrough events that have occurred as a consequence of that. So what we're going to discuss here is the actually subcellular events that are occurring and what effects they have on our lives. And what we're on the verge of exploring together is the breakthroughs that are creating a landmark of human history in which we are on the verge of being able to reprogram the fundamentals of desoxyribonucleic acid DNA and uniting the top programmers of Google and Jeff Huber to the genome project of recombinant DNA. DNA has been used as a hard drive in UNIVAC computers and is the fundamental of the life process itself. And so we have what's called, and I would hope that you might refer to the GRAIL project, which is grail.com, patterned after the Holy Grail. That was done, and the effect is that Jeff Huber, who's the director of the software programming at Google, has a wife that died at the age of 35 with genetic cancer from having a mother with breast cancer, and she developed it too. And he looked at this program, and Breca had been a mutant in cancer. It was identified that it was not actionable. I couldn't do anything about it. But this GRAIL program, when united, will be reprogramming the DNA itself from one drop of blood at birth and from womb to tomb. We'll be able to not only identify what genetic diseases are there, like diabetes and cancer and heart disease and epilepsy and autism and so on, and then go in and do a restructuring of the mutants and just reprogram it, remove the mutant virus and autism, which is an absence of growth and development. You might consider it. It has some variants of clinical manifestations. But the fundamental of it is that the gut is a storehouse of immunologic function. 85 to 90% of all the immune developments occur in the gut, and eventually those immune functions help to facilitate growth and development in the brain by increasing cortisone and increasing immune resistance. So the development of this function is to begin to develop an understanding of how this can be utilized clinically. Andrew Wakefield pioneered this, and he actually did it by the back door by studying celiac disease in the gut and in children, and then looking at the cross-correlation of the incidental findings of major developmental disorders such as autism. And he was vocal discussing this in London. And as a result of that, he was severely chastised. He lost his academic position. He was prosecuted professionally and civilly, and eventually left and came to the United States. But at the same time, he felt obligated to expose the fact that there are significant issues that are related to vaccinations that are occurring. And so what is the idea of GRAIL is that they would go in and do an analysis of the DNA, determine how many of the components of DNA are actually a genetic component creating the autism versus how many are related to the incidence of the use of vaccinations, and then making that as a control substance to determine what can be and may not be the causative factor. The empirical attitude of the community is that one out of two male children by the age in approximately the area of 240 in a few generations, primarily male, are going to be autistic. So what that is that it's going to be an enormous change in our medical profession, and certainly autism doesn't occur genetically in normal people, in normal parents, and it wouldn't increase as rapidly as that. Whereas this is correlated to the beginning of the vaccination program. So we have one thing in our hand, and that is the program that is being funded by Jeff Bezos of Amazon and by Bill Gates of Windows. And they put forward $1 million for a startup, $1 billion. For a startup of this program in Mountain View, California, and they're correlating that with the recombinant DNA and this CRISPR program, and certainly the epigenetic functions. Epigenetic is a, I'm going to use psychocybernetic. It's basically the software program, the search engine to identify and hard drive, which are going to be the active search for and express the concepts and the DNA profile. And cause a negative entropy or growth or a actual manifestation of ontological or direct exposure of the development of autism. So with respect to that, we have now in our hands an actionable way of dealing with this, and of course it's going to take probably to the end of 1918 before the 2018. Before it becomes a practical reality, and it's going to be expensive. The cost of maybe $10,000 and $1 million a test. But I think that at time, if it becomes generally applied, it would be something that could be protocoled into the delivery of everybody. And the possibility of reversing and changing all genetic diseases in the human race would be reprogrammed entirely at birth. So we entree. They opened the door to the possibility of beginning to work in that area, and it was a breakthrough similar to the atomic energy that E equals MC squared was done by Einstein, and created the atomic energy issue that led to subatomic particles to become translated into energy. And Einstein was well aware of the positive and negative impact of the utilization of this kind of power, and he was aware of how it could benefit not only medicine, but civilian use of electricity and everything else, but also in terms of the military-industrial context. So the circumstance of the development of genomics is going to emerge as a relevant and curative function to genetic disease. That, in turn, will allow us to have clear understanding of the causative nature and cause and effect of the genetic component, and it may reverse some of the resistance that the government has had to allowing it to be a discoverable issue in litigation and in scientific development. So the ideas behind our work together today is going to be to look back and trace the history of this, and it is going to be at the core issue that we need to understand where this came from and the fundamentals that it came from. And as Hippocrates said, that if you look at the agenda of life, you look to the plants. And for you, thousands of years, any human life in bands of 6 to 12 have wandered through the countryside searching for wild game that didn't have language, it didn't have religion, it didn't have any kind of science, it didn't value the land at all, it didn't see anything but immediate issues related to game that was traced, and the plants changed that, and that what they did is that somewhere in the area of the Nile or the Middle East, someone saw that a wheat plant was choking out its roots because the seeds were so heavy. They dropped down to the bottom and then choked out the development of the seed. So he picked up the seed, and with the prehensile capability of his thumb and forefinger, he just reached over and planted it 3 feet away. It then grew and grew bigger seeds and did it over and over and over, and eventually developed the hybrid, in which the seeds were so big that it would feed a whole plant and a whole population. And that stopped all of the traveling that was going on as a consequence of the previous human development, and led to the development of campfires, associations with people, religion, science, and the pyramids, and the long-term development, social, political development, and so on, and it created the very type of civilizations that we are living in today, that created a value, that the land was value itself, and the issue with the hegemony or the control of the land was crucial. And so as a result, the emergence of sociopolitical changes that had to do with hegemony led to massacre of literally hundreds of millions of people to figure out who's boss and which tribe is going to be boss. And we're living in that today. And so it's not anything unusual. And so the circumstance of genomics, that the person that could see to the roots of the plant, understand the genomics of the plant, and develop the hybrids of the plant, led to civilization. That genomics emerged and grew throughout the entire area and led to a generalized civilization. And really, it was considered a re-emphasized in human development and sustainable. So the question that developed is that the people that were in this particular area developed IQs of 125 on area. And up north, where they were still doing the hunter-gatherer part, was on the average of 95. So what it meant was that their secondary development of intellectual transferred essentially by word of mouth, though they had written word. Few people were literate, and very few were literate in general, and it was dealt with that primarily word of mouth issues until the Gutenberg Bible. The Bible itself is the only nonfiction book that has ever been written. All the science and medicine and everything we're going to talk about is all not nonfiction. It was attempted to be nonfiction at the time it's published, but everything has to get updated every few years or every year. And some of it is false, and some of it is true, and some of it is just completely preliminary. And so what I'm going to discuss with you is the preliminary heuristic concepts that we're going to have to work with us, because they're putting the burden back on us, men and women, for the development of our children and our progeny, and they're going to ask us whether we agree or don't agree to the 80-some vaccinations that we're going to be possibly mandated to get. So, in a consequence of that, they don't provide us any informed consent. And one of the fundamentals of having the ability to make a judgment about something, whether it has to do with economically or having to do with our own body and our own health, is that we get informed consent, like signing on for a surgery, so that there's a risk-benefit ratio. Well, the risk-benefit ratio is absolutely not told to us at all. And is imbued upon the complete lack of understanding of what's going on, and is tied to a massive cash cow that is coming out of Big Pharma and the government and organized parts of organized religion, in which the economic motive has been the determinant factor, and the political motive is a determinant factor. So having confronted that, And looking at that, the purpose of the structure is that I listed for you all of the vaccines that are publicly being distributed. It gives you the components, if you refer to the document that I sent around, what it includes and what it doesn't include, and what is involved in these different things, so that you know what it is. And the key point is that the majority of these vaccines all have aluminum in them, and they all have mercury in them. And those two are extremely important. They come in chemtrails. They come in cooking pots. We're surrounded by that in our environment. But then injecting it into tiny infants, and they can't be excreted. And so as a result, the body doesn't know what to do with them. And as a result, they store them in the brain. So what happens is that when they get aluminum and mercury or thimerosal in the brain, it is stored up there, so they can't find it in the urine or feces, so they think it's not relevant. Well, it's hardly that, because of the fact that the brain is a recycling, reverberating electronic circuit, and aluminum and mercury acts like rubber, putting it into your electrical system, and just insulates transferring of one data to another. And without that stimulation, there's no growth and development. So it freezes growth and development. So the bottom line is that why autism happens is that growth and development has got stopped because of the fact that something has frozen the transfer of data, so that if you poured 40-watt motor oil on the hard drive of your computer and psycho-cybernetics, you wouldn't be able to access all the files naturally. And that's what aluminum does to the brain and mercury does to the brain. And it stays there. It never leaves. There's no way that the body has of excreting it. So as a consequence, going on for 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 years, the brain is percolating along on programs that are not age-appropriate to the degree that growth and development stops. And that has an absolute enormous effect on the family, the marriage, and and the circumstance because of the fact that the wife is generally preoccupied, certainly as necessary, with the growth and development of the child. And when there's no growth and development, it creates a terrific amount of guilt because she had the child vaccinated. And as a result, she is trying to get the father to be more involved, and he's more or less out of the loop, and he gets upset that she's being critical of him, which makes him guilty, and then it creates anger and subsequently financial collapse because of the cost of it, and sometimes a breakup of the entire family and a disorganization of what's happening. So the secondary repercussions to the family are horrible because normally, it's certainly the blessed event is something enjoyable, but it's also a stress, and growth and development of the children is one of the ways we have of turning the page and getting on with it and adjusting to it according to normal development. When there is no growth and development, and a person just stays fixated, not just isolated, but just fixated, it throws a complete crisis into the entire family structure, which is going on right now. And so I am trying to analyze this, and the people that have tried to litigate this through various different methods, because the hospitalizations, the medical expenses, the long-term effects of it, and so on are certainly actionable. In 1989, the decision was that since there was no definitive information that had to do with cause and effect etiology, they dealt with it just as circumstantial. In other words, they call it anecdotal in medicine, meaning that we don't know what's going on and what's happening, but we're not going to try to find out because it's far too complicated. And the reason that they introduce so many parameters of variability, for instance, not only aluminum and not only mercury, which are highly toxic, but chromium and silver and iron and a number of heavy metals that can't be gridded. And in addition to the blended products of conception, they call aborted fetuses, they grind up to freeze-dried powders and sell the Merck and Lilly to make MMR vaccines, which is a cash cow to the medicine people. And so as a consequence, with the birth of the serious and complicating issues, the government took a step of just transferring all retail development and profits to the Center for Disease Control. And when that happened, they exonerated the Center for Disease Control for any kind of immunity and reprisal for any of the damage that might be caused. And as a result, the Center for Disease Control was making estimated from $3 to $5 billion profit, the biggest cash cow they have, only from the sale and distribution of the retail distribution of vaccines, which they have, as a result of the work of Dr. Thompson, have completely suppressed the adverse reactions that were going on. In fact, are not being reported. So this complicated the issue and transferred the responsibility of the vaccination to the federal government as a vaccination court, which is unique in the history of litigation. And the idea of litigation is that one person takes a position, the other takes a position, and they have an idea of discovery in normal civil society, in which we ask the other person, what are the evidence that you've got to support as your data? And it's strictly forbidden in these courts, in the matters of autism, to have any discovery on any part. That there's a direct and specific cover-up and repression of any discovery, so that there can't be cause and effect, and these are seen and just dealt with as circumstantial events and unrelated anecdotal issues, and atypical of the demographics of the increase in acceleration of the major 45-degree angle of the sudden development of this with current situations. So what we have to look at is exactly what is going on is that the drug companies are going to not take responsibility because they're immune, and the CDC won't take responsibility, and the federal government won't take responsibility, and there's no financial assistance to the family going through these enormous financial and emotional crises that are increasing on an ongoing basis. And the GRAIL project can identify what is born in genetic and what is vaccination, which within a period of 18 months might be an opening and crack in the door to be able to provide them with some assistance. So what our job is basically is to deal with what we've got to work with right now. And that is to say that we have to have informed consent as parents and grandparents of our children for the purpose of maintaining their health and well-being. And they're going to be leaving it up to us. And so what's developed in our community is a completely polarizing effect. And that all the vaccines are good, that we have smallpox and polio and diphtheria and tetanus and pertussis or whooping cough that have been life-saving in our history, and all of us have taken some variants of those in our childhood, and so they're good. And so the name of vaccine doesn't carry with it the connotation of something that's impending mental deficiency and doom. And as a consequence, after 1989, there was a massive development in all pharmaceutical companies, that the real cash cow of making money in the drug business is to make new vaccines. And that was coupled with a new resource of the raw material of the vaccines, are primarily the ground-up products of human beings that are coming from 52 million babies that are executed on a regular basis and ground up and sold to the, for vaccines, because of the legalization of abortion. I was on the abortion committee with Henry Wade before Roe v. Wade was in existence at the Baptist Hospital, Baylor Hospital, and we had a meeting, and we usually approved pregnancy terminations 100% unanimous, legally and religiously and medically and psychologically and every other way, to a massive amount of corroborative clinical data jointly decided, maybe 5 a week or around 20 a month, and Henry Wade was in agreement of it. And he was principal in the litigation that led to that, and consequently, that has gone to nothing but more than just a cash cow to medicine, which is, of course, an eticide, a murder of children by premeditated intent with a voluntary informed consent of the mother who pays for it. And so through that, the Christian and the Jewish community has the birth rate of 0.8 when 2.4 is necessary to maintain their integrity, and in five generations they're going to be extinct entirely because the women are deciding not to be mothers but deciding to go into the workforce and education and feel competitive with that. So the consequence behind that is that the sociopolitical dynamics of demographic management has been at the root cause of the vaccination conflict, and what we are trying to do is inform the public as much as we can as to the risk-benefit ratio. The keynote that doctors have is risk-benefit ratio. What is the condition that's going on, and what is the benefit that we can create, and what is the risk of what you're doing going to create problems? The hand of man doesn't cure anything. The hand of God cures things. The doctors just take the credit. And the situation is that very good medical approach is give you predictability. And that predictability they're handing not to them and taking medical legal responsibility, but they're handing it all to us without any understanding of risk-benefit and without any information. informed consent. So, you know, the burden of it is back on us again. So we have a situation in which we are taking charge of our kids, and we want to be able to do something. So there's a very positive negative event that we want to avoid anything, because out of who can understand all of the variants? They're just blending in rats and larvae of insects and all kinds of animals, in addition to what's going on, and a host of other agents that are toxic. And so as a result, teasing out exactly what is going on is clearly a clinical issue. And on top of that, when they find evidence, according to Dr. Thompson at the CDC, they destroy the evidence so that it doesn't hurt the billion-dollar market. So the Trump administration has taken the position of going in and just taking a look at legally the consequences of this kind of sequence that is happening, and I'm not sure what the outcome of that is going to be, but at least they took a notice of it. And I think that we live in a different situation in which the entitlements are driving the motivation behind our political system. And that became aware of shortly after the Second World War, and we had the entitlements that developed in 1930s under FDR, that Social Security and AFDC and so on. And we saw that the baby boomers come by and noticed that by the time normally in the 1930s, without penicillin and without the advent of major technological developments, people died normally around 65. So they put the limit around 65. Well, that's obsolete. I mean, people live until their 80s and 90s and perfectly healthy. And so as a consequence, the entitlements went up to the point that globally the entitlements were going to consume all the income and all the benefits of all the corporations in the world, and there wouldn't be anything left for economic development of the global income. It'd be completely zero because of entitlements. So from the Second World War, and arising secondarily from the Second World War, that the issue of trying to control the entitlements has been central on the issue, and unfortunately, they haven't come up with a solution because of the fact they are totally driven by the Ponzi scheme, which, in other words, the people coming in to it are collecting the money to 3 to 5 days after the people that are earning the money put it in, so that there isn't anything there. It's not like an annuity. And what happens is that if you kill off 52 million people, there are people coming in. So as a result, the burden of going on is going to increase and increase to the point that at $40,000 apiece, the immediate deduction from the payroll tax is going to be $40,000 each of us apiece, which is going to seriously disrupt the whole system of our work together politically, globally. So they took a look at that, and they created two clinical studies for the purpose of dealing with that. A clinical study is where you don't know what's going to happen to a given population, and so you try it on a group of experimental situations, and then learn from that, and over a course of time, you understand dosage and constants and related disease and issues. And there were two going on in the late 40s, which were the work camps in Germany and the Hiroshima Nagasaki events of the atomic explosions from the point of view of nuclear reaction, which both of which are not military events, but were clinical studies that were done for the purpose of understanding Zyklon B cyanide in Germany, and certainly polonium-210, which is the first radioactive chemical that was discovered by Marie Curie and glowed in the dark, and it was very 1,000 times more radioactive than any other radioactive. She died of it, of leukemia. And they didn't know what it was, so they just exposed photographic curiosity about it and named it after Polonius and Sacred, they to thy own self be true, and can't be false to any man. And so consequently, that is enriched plutonium and enriched uranium that they talk about all the time. They don't mention the name of it. Vanyar was poisoned by it, a spy in Russia, as they anticipated it was going to happen, because there's no clinical data in any cancer society that is going on, and yet it causes 70% of all the cancers that ever happen to people. It's the ambient relation disease that is here, and it's all wasted into tobacco as a consequence of the decision of the Bilderberg. So how that developed is that my uncle, who was the director of foreign intelligence at the CIA, was charged by Wild Bill Donovan, who was appointed by Eisenhower, to deal with that. And he certainly, in the first initiation of that, named him after Wild Bill Hickok and Buffalo Bill and so on, that starved out the Indian population and the world's largest human genocide program to murder the Indian, Native Indians in the United States. And he started the idea that if we brought over Reinhard Gehlen, who was the director of the German program over Hitler, who was the overseer of the camps, that they would transfer over to my uncle, Tom Braden. He spoke German. We're a German family. And they would then have all the context of the SS and SA and everything, all the clinical data and so on, and they transferred all of it over in the late 40s, analyzed it, and Reinhard and Tom were good friends, and he was also friends with Nelson Rockefeller and JFK, and he grew up with them, in fact. So they put it together and organized it, and when it was over here and clear, then he instructed Tom to go over and start the Bilderbergers, who were in charge of the top executives in politics and money and military and also the media, to be the movers and shakers who would agree to start lacing in the polonium and Zyklon B into tobacco, which people trusted as a false flag, and eventually 85% of them died before the age of 62, drastically giving an unfunded liability to $1.8 trillion, with a T, dollars to the entitlement just in the United States, and 20 times that globally, which created a massive shift in the understanding of the entitlements. That, of course, the massive early demise of the people, which was titrated so they could complete the economic productivity of that family and undo it immediately. And so, you know, that's one of the biggest operations there is. So between that, 48 million, and the abortions of 52 million, as you can see, there's 100 million people that have been medically removed from the population and the entitlement system. Largely because of the voluntary nature of the mothers and voluntary nature of the people that are buying the product at $3,000 a year and for the purpose of gassing themselves with poison. So, as a result, I worked with my cousin doing the Geiger counter work back in the day, and I did work with the rabbits, and we did counters of I was my job to put the rabbits back in the cages where we were gassing them with Chesterfield and Lucky Strikes and Marlboros, and then eventually we killed them, and they died usually of cancers of all the organs, because the lungs don't limit the damage. There's just a big one, but I mean it goes to all of the organs and it stays there for 6 months, and you do it 20 times a day for 10 years, and you can imagine what's going on. It just burns the normal tissue into cancer. So we discussed it, and he and I worked together at Roswell Park Cancer Center, and he did the research on it. And eventually we contacted JFK and Nelson Rockefeller, and who were the governors and president at the time, and were successful in putting the labels on the cigarette that this is dangerous to your health. But they wouldn't allow us to tell them why it's dangerous to your health. They didn't put radioactive symbols on the tobacco, and they didn't notify the people of what it was. And when the Seven Sisters got a presentation to the Congress, they said, well, that's just collateral damage. They said, we didn't intend for those people to die. And David Kiesler, who was a pediatrician in charge of the FBI, won the opportunity to change it and lost at the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court and Senator Del Conner said, well, if there's no intent to kill those many people, then there's no reason to make it like a food. We have a declaration of what's in it. So as a result, the confluence of this has created what had emerged, and if you'll refer to the book of what I've put together, is that the events of all the last 20 years, 30 years, has been toward slow and gradual encroachment into the systematic genocide of individuals through the medical programs, and it began with the development of certain ideas about viruses and immunizations and so on. And I want to quote something. I know it's a little redundant, but it is the best of times. It was the worst of times. An age of wisdom, an age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief and epic of incredulity. As with false flags that we're seeing right now, and it was the season of light and the season of darkness, the spring of hope and the winter of despair. So that was all written back in 1859. On April 30th, 158 years ago, and this is April 30th, 158 years later to the day, and it's the story of our lives. It constitutes the same thing that went on in 1789 of the French Revolution and developed it. And one of the things that we have to do, and it's difficult to do under the circumstances, is that nothing can be changed unless we face the facts. Regardless of how we think about the facts and whether they're good or bad is not our topic of conversation. It's just clinically, I look at the facts with all my colleagues, and as a matter whether it's right or wrong or not, we're just trying to get to the basic elements of the facts. So to achieve this, we build intelligent models to actionable insights in order to function. And that is a result of an interest that we, responsible adults, can follow so that we can deal with what we've got to work with now. And hopefully the GRAIL program can open the doors to clear and definite ideologic or causative factors that are leading to these events, and we can control them. But to do so is highly prejudicial to the major long-term benefits of what the objective is, which, of course, is profits for the drug companies. So the work of Horowitz and the ideas behind this of Dr. Boyd Edward Graves in 1971 is that to establish an understanding of it. And Henry Kissinger approached Richard Nixon from the point of view of this kind of problem. And in 1979, Fort Detrick in Maryland, which is a war college and was a cancer research development, he wrote a book of AIDS, a Bill Henmark, of emerging viruses in the area, and was using issues of DNA recombination for the purpose of engineering a retrovirus that would create a sudden virus that could be not immunized against. There would be no vaccine against it because vaccines work against the shell of the virus. They don't work against the interior of it. And the shell constantly changes. They engineered the DNA of the viruses to produce these diseases so that there couldn't be any possibility of recovery. And it would go on over a long period of time. So, and as a result, we saw the AIDS epidemic killing millions of people going on right now, and the Ebola epidemic going on, and to some extent, Marburg, which is more loculated and isolated. arising from medical laboratories for the purpose of bioterrorism to gradually increase the destruction of the third world. And the Nixon focused on the black population, the drug and alcohol population, the IG drug abusers, and the homosexuals. And he said that these people are the most expendable in our group, so we're going to focus on that. And Heinz Wolf Sesmanos, who was the roommate of Carol Vitola Jr. In Krakow, was the director of the CDC branch of the hepatitis vaccine program. And the hepatitis vaccine of hepatitis C was a very damaging and disturbing illness and affected this demographic very prominently. And he was also the director of the blood bank in New York City in 1979. And so what he did was he took AIDS and Ebola, and it primarily AIDS, and laced it into all of the vaccines that were given. He advertised in a newspaper to give these vaccines to people, and particularly focused on giving them free, as we see free vaccinations being given out by the drug companies right now. But he did that only from the point of view of hepatitis vaccines. And so as a result, all of a sudden, the people that got the vaccines developed these autoimmune diseases. And then he transferred it over to Castro over in the homosexual district of San Francisco, and the whole epidemic developed within a period of months. And I watched it happen. I was doing work in cocaine rehabilitation in the Castro area of the downtown San Francisco at the time, and people would just be walking skeletons that had gotten the vaccinations. So they dawned on them that manufacturing the viruses and vaccines that they manufacture and putting the burden of who gets the vaccines as being free and available. And right now in California, the possibility of the bill making it mandated in order to get jobs and education for the children was a great way, and not only with tobacco and abortion, to be able to change the entitlement. So this emerged in the last 20 years as being an avenue of development, and the cash flow going into the CDC to suppress the data, manufacture the data, or not report the data, and then that there's no reprisal, and everybody has immunity, and all the liability is on the basis of the mothers and the fathers who unwittingly thought and felt that they were acting in good faith because polio vaccine was good and smallpox was so. So if the name is vaccine, it's got a false flag that there's no serious thing behind it.
Dr. Gifford? Yeah, could you put your finger on your notes there? We have a caller, so if you don't mind, let's see what they have to say.
Okay, one of the things I'd like to ask you to do, and I will take this caller, but at the same time, I want to try to develop a line of thinking with the talking points, and then when we finish, I'd like to have an open Q&A, but I'll take the caller.
Well, the caller just hung up, so you're free to keep going.
Okay. Well, I would appreciate it if the caller would make note of that, and we're going to have open discussion. And I'm saying a lot of things that may have controversial concepts, and then we could have a discussion about it. But I'd like to finish up my line of thought and the talking points, and then leave it open for Q&A for the rest of our session together. Is that okay, Daniel?
Yeah, that's fine. We're 6 minutes after the hour at the moment.
Okay. Well, anyway, so this happened, and I have this book on the emerging and the name of the guy, Dr. Geller, who said he created AIDS. Did he depopulate humanity, and it's manufactured, and the origin of that, and concept of vaccines originated from that, and then Carol Wojtyla, who was Wolf Seismanis' roommate back in World War II, was the primary distributor of the the chemical company that was making Zyklon B that he distributed to Auschwitz and Dachau, and he was a salesman for Solvay Corporation, and IG Farben was the biggest chemical company at the time, and his father manufactured Zyklon B, used to make science between Seismanis and vitamin C, and subsequently he had to leave the country because of that, and he came back as Pope John Paul II. And so, you know, he was awarded with sainthood and national, global recognition because of the fact of the trillions of dollars he saved in the Eisenhower tobacco genocide, which he really contributed to. So it saved trillions of dollars globally. He brought China and out of the doldrums of poverty. And with that, with demographic management, they became a financial power. So, you know, it's created a terrific capital market as a consequence of that. And I went through the detail behind it, and I would note that that was his claim to fame from the point of view of biological requirements. And so Eisenhower had a history of starving to death 12 million German TOWs. He just simply didn't feed them and give them any water, and he essentially executed them in concentration camps. And that's not very well known, but he did that during his time at the immediate post-war period, and he started the tobacco generation of genocide, which is still going on. So, you know, the idea of the vaccinations are a weapon of mass destruction and are dealing with the issues of taking the responsibility off of the institutions that are leading it is have well established from several different parameters. I wrote an article for State in Action about this and some time back because of my personal experience with it. And basically, vaccinations could be one of the root issues of what's going on, and what I want to try to do is to give you as much data as possible that you can make an informed decision, not just a blanket yes or no. Obviously, vaccinations have very positive effects. I'm neither positive toward vaccinations or negative. I'm just wanting to know that what kind of vaccination and exactly what is the downside possibilities of it, so that I can make responsible choices about myself and as well as my children. My daughter is a doctorate student in New York City, and she was forced to take a vaccination or she'd be expelled from medical school. I mean, that's how it goes. The medical people are the first ones to get hit by it. And against her any wishes and my wishes, they had to force her to be vaccinated in order to be able to continue with her work. So, you know, I would like for us to be able to elaborate in detail these questions, and there's a lot of the things I brought up are certainly open for controversy. And the ideas that are sometimes developed in science are associated with heresy and blasphemy as well as with scientific validity. And sometimes it takes time for them to play out in the socio-political developments of it. And we're all in the course of looking at this. And looking back on it, we may have some understanding better than what I've been able to provide to you, but I hope to open your eyes to the context of what we're facing. And that is that that it is unnecessary, in my opinion, to give forced vaccinations contingent on schooling of children of 80 different unknown vaccinations mixed together with all these toxic agents before the age of two, which is what they're considering, and also including all the days in order to get on an airplane or to travel or to participate in any form of job or business, to be fully vaccinated, knowing what the consequences are going to be, which is on the verge of development in California, and may have long-term effects. So with that, I'll close my initial and would open the floor to Q&A that is anybody that is interested or discussing this both in public on the radio, as well as if you want to contact me, and I will discuss everything anonymously in private. If you contact the people over at Recovery Telehealth Private, and which we definitely are private with respect to people's identity and situation as involving their personal lives. So if you have any questions, please would you direct them to me, and I will try to answer them as best as I can.
Yeah, Dr. Gifford, would you give out your contact information, please?
The contact information is my private direct line is a cell phone, which is 832-808-6573. I have a global number that's an answering service, which is good internationally and locally at 212-235-1881. And that is a fax line. It's also, if they can't reach somebody, they not only give a voicemail, but they send an email. As best I can, I will answer all of those within 24 hours. And if you want to make an appointment, we call it electronic virtual office, and through Skype and Hangouts, and we meet with people and talk with them on telecommunication. It's not treatment, because it's illegal to do treatment medically on the internet, but we do education, which is what I'm doing now. And then if we need a second opinion or AeroVac somebody to Texas Medical Center, which is what I usually do since I'm here, I work in the tobacco department and cancer prevention department of MD Anderson Hospital. And so, you know, I am most familiar with this, but we make referrals to any major medical center. And we want to put in the hands of people to have immediate contact with the access to all of the finest medical people in surgery and medicine and everything else, because within $300 in 3 hours' time, they can be anywhere. They just don't know where it is. And so we try to broker that and get facility for that. So that's my contact. You can look it up under www.recovery-telehealth-private. And telehealth is where the wires that we have in ICU are handheld devices now that are globally affected and can monitor anybody more than just wearables. They're medical devices that are used in hospitals and cut the prices from thousands down to $100 in a handheld device. And the slogan of the program, it's in your hand. It's in your hand. And we try to make ourselves available 24/7 to the 100 million people that across the world that just got handheld devices. So we want to get the information out. And Daniel Johns and I have been working very closely together, and hopefully that we'll be able to inform people. If you have any questions, please call me, and I will work with you.
Yeah, what was your area code on your personal cell there again, doctor?
The area code is 713-832-808-6573. It's in Houston, Texas. And the email that you normally use is Charlie Oscar three times, COCOCO26@gmail.com. or DRG for Dr. Gifford, and then it's mdmdo@gmail.com. That's my doctor online, MD, for the clinical ideas. And I would appreciate it if you contact me. You don't need to use your real name. You know, you can use your email name, these avatars that we use, because privacy is absolute, and we take a very serious attitude about it. So I look forward to hearing from you, and if you have any specific questions you might ask me or you or other people.
Yeah, I just I want to make sure we got the number right, because a lot of folks listen to these programs later on, you know, the archive program. So I want to make sure that the phone number is correct. To reach you directly, the number is 832-808-6573. Is that correct?
That's correct. And you can just dial it direct. It's a Verizon number. And I'll pick up right away. It should be on some of the literature, and I'll send you literature as you may request it at any time.
I've got a quick question. This is personal because it affects family members of mine, and I'm sure it affects many other people. But do they have a right at this time in the United States, do they have a right to force you or threaten your job over a vaccination?
Yeah, that is a current political contested issue, and Jerry Brown has taken that for the protection of all the other people, that we can't have people that are unvaccinated that are going to infect the other people in the school, so we have to have vaccinations mandated by necessity to a full vaccination schedule. And you know, some of them, like MMR, is just horribly toxic. Mumps, measles, and rubella. I mean, how many of us as children have had mumps and measles and mumps? And it's been like 7 to 10 days out of school with a little fever. That's it. You know.
Yeah.
And so they think that they have to vaccinate us for that. They give us a lifelong complication where it's deposited in the brain, creates Alzheimer's and autism. For that, I mean, the risk-benefit ratio behind that, I don't think is relevant.
Of course,
but,
it's not.
Know, that's my opinion.
Right. It's not. One question here. We're going to run out of time here in about 8 minutes, but with the contact information and your website, et cetera, I'm sure folks are going to contact you. But before we do run out of time, in your opinion, and again, we understand this is your personal opinion, but do you see a general awakening amongst the medical profession, the folks in the medical profession that you deal with? Do you see a growing consciousness of the dangers of these vaccines?
Well, I am in the heart of a major medical center, and the men that I work with on a regular basis, that in my clinic, I'm an expert witness in these issues, and we look to adverse actions that have to be reported. And the clinics and the hospitals are not reporting anything in their computers. They don't even have a field for adverse reactions, because it creates medical legal liability. So you have to class it as an allergy, which is on the responsibility of the patient, not the drug. So it creates an immunity to this, and they're going by that because they're taught that in medical school, which, of course, has been bought by the oil people, the Rockefeller people back in the 70s, medical school, the indoctrination of it, and they do a lot of good. You know, but, you know, the thing is that hydrogen, which is one thing that it will reverse this and clean things out and reverse some of the problems, has gone up from $100 a prescription to $10,000 a prescription in the last 8 weeks. because they don't want it on the market because, of course, it ruins their cash cows. So, you know, that's the type of attitude that is going on there. Of course they're interested in making money. But, you know, I feel that the Hippocratic Oath belongs that first do no harm to the people, not to the corporations.
Right, exactly.
And so the doctors are divided against it, and they're adverse to bringing it up because it jeopardizes their job. Andrew Luckfield got completely disenfranchised from any economic issue, and he had to leave the country. And the first thing is that this Vaccine Through Its Field, which is a very excellent program that I would recommend on YouTube, would be something that everybody would watch. And it's going viral and it going over and over. So we need to inform ourselves. But the doctors are, like my daughter, are up against it because of the fact that they have to live with and work with the very political instruments and economic interests that are associated with the other side of the fence. They may privately say that, but on the other hand, they are conflicted about it. And that may change with this Grail program. The Grail, they got the Grail program from the Judas Kiss, in which Christ was kissed. I think it was friendship, but it was just before the crucifixion. And so the downside and the issue behind this and the repercussions behind this has led to several people like Brooks, for example, who was murdered because of the fact that he exposed it. So, you know, and over 10 doctors have been murdered. And recently, in the past history, over 60 have been murdered regarding this direct murder against people that are trying to do something about it. So it's a dangerous field to go into. But I think the truth needs to get out. And you're one of the opportunities that we have to get it out and to spread it to everybody we know.
Yep. We're going to do the best we can as long as the good Father gives us the opportunity. Real quick here, do you have any information, good, bad, or indifferent, on GMOs that you could share for us in a few minutes?
Genetic modified organisms?
Correct.
Plants?
Correct. Well, in other words, are GMOs good or bad?
Well, GMOs are sterilizing seeds for the purpose of economic production. And it sterilizes the ability to reproduce. And one of the downsides of the Grail program is that we're going to have GMO human beings that will be programmed from birth to be compliant, non-thinking workers. Because anything is going to be able to reprogram DNA, we are, from a biological perspective, actual computers, human beings are. And we are run by DNA, and it's going to be programmed by a group of people. And who knows what's going to happen. So the idea of varying what God created and what?
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, negative entropy of epigenetic function is God. You know, God made us, and I don't think we should vary from that. And I think that is a potential that would be highly damaging, just like with food and plants, is damaging to people. That you can use it selectively like a surgeon's knife. If you do it on a broad sweep, it's not good at all. So, you know, I only eat organic food because the point is that the human body is a flashlight. We have light coming out of our fingertips that come from the sun. The whole point of energy for our body comes from ultraviolet light, and we can't get anything from ultraviolet light. So we've got solar cells called vegetables that are not poisoned, that are just sitting there, solar cells, that if we stay with that, it's going to help. Because we're getting the pure thing, we're getting the batteries out of the direct sunlight that has created life itself. Through the acts of God, of course. But I mean, the GMOs is a complete misrepresentation of DNA modification as a consequence of this abuse of genomics. And that's what every powerful thing has to do with, is it has economic and military consequences.
Amen.
I strongly disapprove of GMOs and all, and pesticides in general.
Right.
And processed food.
Right. Hey, I hate to say this, but we're out of time, Dr. Gifford. We're going to have to do this again real soon, if that's okay with you.
I'll do it every week if you want.
All right. We thank you.
I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you, and I'm available at any time, 24/7, 365.
All right. Hallelujah. Yahweh bless your heart.
Very good. Thank you, sir.